Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, guys, and welcome to Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris, and I'm joined by my lovely Stephen. He's back from Liverpool.
Hello. I mean, I'm just about recovered. Yeah, it's been... I'm an emotional wreck, Bob.
I want all the tea. So tell everyone at home. So obviously, you went to Eurovision.
I did, yeah. Yeah. I had quite a busy week last week. I went to the Coronation concert on the Sunday, and then...
Oh, shit.
And then I did Eurovision on the Thursday, and then came back on Sunday, and I just feel like I'm... crashed into the real world, really. It's quite depressing, isn't it?
Let's start with Coronation. How was that? You went to the concert.
Yeah, we had a seated ticket. We were like living the dream. It was amazing. Really good. You definitely... It was kind of exactly what you thought it would be. Lots of flag waving. Lots of, yeah, good acts. Katy Perry was brilliant.
Was she a standout performer?
I would say so, yeah. And Tate That were really good as well. And, you know, we met some like crazy Americans outside the castle who... We're like, are you going to the Katy Perry concert? And I was like, it's not really a Katy Perry concert. But sure.
I don't love an American.
Yeah, really good.
What did she sing? Did she do a little medley?
She did Firework and Roar, so her big like anthemic ones, right?
Yeah, belted them out.
Yeah. So that was great.
Yeah. Who else performed for that? There was quite a few.
Lionel Richie.
Lionel, did he dance on the ceiling?
Well, you know, I think he's 80-odd now or something, so...
Still looks good.
He does look good, yeah, and apparently no surgery. You know, there you go.
Looks good either way.
Looks good.
I don't judge. I've had stuff pumped in my face over the years.
That's true. You're lucky
I don't
thing.
Judge.
Who else is there? Andrea Bocelli, Ollie Murs. Yeah, loads of...
How was Ollie?
Pretty good. I actually think I might have gone to the loo when he was on... Which is bad, isn't it? But you got to go.
We do like a bit of Mr. Murs.
Yeah. But yeah, all in all, really fun. But met some crazy people and yeah, just had a good time.
But really, Eurovision has pissed all over Coronation for you. That's what you live for.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like Ursula.
Yeah, it feels... I don't know. It was incredible. It's like 3 days of being extremely high energy, really sort of loving every minute. I bumped into, on the Saturday before the live show, we went out for lunch in this little restaurant quite close to the arena, bumped into the Swiss entry and his team from Switzerland. And
what was he like? Nice?
Lovely, lovely young man.
Is he a salt?
If you're into that sort of thing.
What sort
Very
of thing?
Very young. He's young.
Oh, yeah.
Like 21, bit twinky.
Yeah. Because we're 24 now.
Yeah, so
too possibly, young for us.
Yeah. Then got a picture with him, had a little brief chat, and then I burst into tears. Which is never happened to me. I've met so many celebrities and like all sorts of kinds of people over the years. I have, including Madonna, for Christ's sake. And I cried over seeing a Swiss man I'd basically never heard of until like 4 weeks ago.
Love it.
I know my friends are laughing at me, but I just felt like, yeah, it was a real...
Was it Eurovision emotion? Just all kicked in?
I think really did.
No one loves it like you love it. Do you know what I mean? And I know the minute it was announced that we was hosting it, you've been on this for, well, since it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
Living and breathing this.
Yeah, so. I mean, it goes year to year, so we're just at the beginning of another cycle. So, all in all, really good.
Any guy candy, spill the tea. Did you meet anyone?
Definitely a couple of nice men. Nothing of any particular excitement really happened.
Nothing to report to Uncle Bob's.
Few eyes, catching a few eyes in the bar.
But is that all you caught, Stephen, or did you catch anything else in Liverpool?
No STIs, so we're all right.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Thank God.
He's come
that.
Back to London, been to the gum clinic, and is clean.
I'm clean. Nothing to worry about. So all in all, it was just an amazing experience. I'm very glad I've done it, but it's definitely left me feeling like emotionally spent.
Is it like when you come back off an holiday and you have the holiday blues?
A bit
You've got
like
the
that.
Eurovision blues.
Yeah.
I've got to ask, because I remember you talking about Lorraine, is it?
Yeah.
You called this weeks ago.
Yeah.
She was in your top three.
Yeah.
Are you happy she won?
I'm very happy Lorraine won. At the very last minute, I definitely think I wanted Carrier from Finland to win. But, you know, she was an excellent winner. She's the second woman to win twice. No, the first woman to win twice. and only the second person to win twice. And just the whole vibe was just like, yeah, just immaculate. And she's a great performer. And then it'll be in Sweden next year. I've already made the decision. I'm not going next year. I don't think I can do it to myself. Honestly, isn't that ridiculous?
You've just got to watch it on the telly.
It's just going to be on the telly. A little party at mine, a few Prosecco's, bed.
Perfect.
But yeah. How are you, Bob? Are you all right?
I'm good as gold, thank you. I'm all good as gold. So yeah. I've been out and about today. I'll tell you more during the show. Bobby on the street. Mm-hmm. And I'm good. But talking showbiz news, moving on from Eurovision, I want to talk about Wagner. Wagner!
What,
getting
what's he
his Corey out on OnlyFans. It's on OnlyFans. So, Mr. The legend of X Factor, which is Wagner. 67.
Louis.
And is on the OnlyFans. I don't know what he's selling. I'm guessing probably dick pics. But what's your thoughts? Will you subscribe?
Well, I have yet to subscribe to an OnlyFans account.
Will Wagner be
Wagner is going to be the first one I'm going to indulge in. No, absolutely not. But also, fair play to him. You know, people are making a lot of money.
Oh, serious. I don't judge. You know me. Get your coins.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we've had people on the show that do OnlyFans before. And I think it's become, I think maybe 5 years ago, it's a bit different situation. It's become a very legitimate source of income.
People are buying houses off their OnlyFans.
Yeah. It's a safe way to sell your body without any expectation on what you are going to do, right? If people are interested in if people want to pay money to see you, well, you know, sometimes they're not even naked. People like Kerry Katona, she's just in her underwear, right? Or feet pictures or whatever, which I would do, to be fair. So anyway,
there's quite a niche. People do like a foot, don't they?
I'm fine with that.
Get your plates of meat out, Stephen. How much do you sell a foot photo for?
I don't know. I will find out
But like I say, it's a safe way of doing it. Kind of like the Jack the Ripper days.
Exactly. It's all down a phone. I don't think Wagner's going to be, you know, doing lots of collabs with other OnlyFans, but I might be wrong.
I hope he does. I hope he gets them coins. I take my hat off to anyone. Do you know what I mean? No pun intended. But it takes some balls, I think, to put yourself out there.
Take some of Wagner's balls.
Yeah.
I think more power to the people that do it. I know people I used to work with, journalists, who now do it and make good coin from it. So honestly, why not? If you're confident enough, you think you can earn money, because you've also got a... If you're putting yourself out there and no one subscribes, that's a bit depressing, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, there is that. I think why not?
But there's always someone for everyone. What do they say? There's a lid for every jar. Is that a saying?
Lid for every pot?
A lid for every pot, maybe.
To know, whatever.
There's always someone for someone.
Yeah,
whether you're going to buy an house off of it, it is a different thing. Maybe a Wendy has. But there's always going to be someone, whether it's... feet, hands, whatever floats your boat. Like I say, we don't judge. But what I want to know, will we see a Stephen Ling OnlyFans anytime
soon? Hold on a sec, Bobby. This is not the question. You're the famous one. Will there be a Bobby Norris OnlyFans?
Oh, I don't know if I've got a niche for it.
Are you joking? Come on, babe.
People have pretty much seen everything anyway in my schlong thong. The things I've had to wear over the years, I've had it all for free on ITV too.
That's a really good point.
So,
but you didn't get a pay rise afterwards either, did you?
No, I didn't. Might have to have a chat with ITV about it. No, it's a funny one, isn't it? I don't judge it, but I don't know if, believe it or not, considering my job, I don't know if I'd have the confidence to do it.
Same, yeah.
And you know, it takes some fun.
Cannolis.
To do it.
I think the thing is that the older I've got, actually, weirdly, whether I've been bigger or smaller, and I've, you know, I'm about as small as I've ever been, really, at the moment, as an adult, like, you kind of realise that, like, people don't even necessarily really notice all the time. You might be really conscious of your own body.
Yeah.
But I actually think that I get... the same, I've been single for a long time, right? I get the same level of attention now as I did do when I was 2 stone heavier. I honestly don't think there's much difference.
Yeah, well, people generally, I don't think give a shit. And we notice things that people don't notice.
Like, if you're, like, people are so self-conscious of their bodies, right? And you think, like, how many times we've gone off, gone a bit off piste here, but I do think it's an interesting topic.
Absolutely.
Like, how many times have you ever got into bed with someone and they've run out screaming? Because, well, unless you've done them.
No, never.
Do you know what I mean?
Never. I wish some of them had. I just closed the door and got in an Uber and never came back.
Yeah. I agree. But honestly, like, so I think, yeah, you know, someone like Wagner, why the hell not? There's going to be people that are interested and they'll pay money for it.
And I think a lot of us, I don't know if it's just, but I think all deep down, everyone's always got an insecurity about their body somewhere. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I think, I don't know if it's probably the same for girls. It might be when it comes to boobs. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a girl. But I think being a guy on OnlyFans, you've got to know you're literally bringing something to the table. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why no one would sign up to mine, babe.
You've got to have a piece and off.
And yeah, but you say that, there'd be people that would be into smaller willies.
This is true. There's always going to be someone that likes something.
Yeah. You can't, it's not, yeah, that will earn you more money, definitely.
It's a niche.
It's a niche.
What, a big or a small will earn more?
Well, I would assume a big, but do you know what? I have no idea.
This is true.
Interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting.
Soon enough, we'll find out what Wagner's penis size is.
Yeah,
so,
we might have to get him in the studio.
Yeah, if you want a bit of free promo, Wagner.
Yeah. Give Stephen a discount code. He wants to check out your OnlyFans. If you're listening, babes, come on into Access All Areas. We love you.
What have you made of the I'm a Celeb, the South Africa? It's over. Mylene Klass.
Over. Mylene, how do you feel about her winning? I love that she's donated her fee to charity, which, I mean, her last trial, what does she eat? 40 mice tails? 60 mice tails? I don't think I could put one in my mouth. Do you know what I mean?
You put worse things in your mouth than a mouse tail.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I ain't been paid 100 grand for it.
And you certainly wouldn't give it away at the end.
No. Compensation. And what else did she... And then she had 40 spoonfuls of fermented... was it? Fermented tofu. Yeah. I don't even think I like tofu that ain't fermented. So that's off to her. But 100 grand, gave it all to charity. Seems a lovely girl.
Yeah.
And worthy also, winner.
She's the I'm a Celeb icon, really, isn't she?
Yeah.
We said before, white bikini.
Yeah. And that's etched on our minds, and we're gay men.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Basically, because I was like, I want a body like that.
When I grow up, I want to be Mylene Klass.
I mean, I actually thought, coming towards the end, I quite wanted... I didn't watch all of them, because I was away and stuff, but I quite wanted Carol Vorderman.
Alvaldas.
Yeah.
She gets younger every day.
Yeah, impressive that, isn't it?
Didn't she? Fantastic moisturiser, that girl.
That creme de la mer is working all the time.
But do you know what? She looks good.
She does look good. And actually, she's looking better, which is quite rare. You know what I mean? Like, what? Just seems to be working quite well.
It's working well.
Yeah.
Do you think this is something that ITV, will they now copy this format? Will this become an every year thing that they'll do this? I guess they're eventually going to run out of, well, I mean, after. How long has it been on? 19, 20 years? There's probably a lot of contestants they can use.
Yeah, there'll definitely be still people because they pay a lot of money, right? I think I'm a ITV to get people on I'm a Celeb.
To eat 60 mice tails.
Yeah.
Not doing it for a meal deal.
I think I'd rather a mouse tail than like an eyeball. A sheep's eyeball or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
At least you pretend a mouse tail was like spaghetti or something.
I'm really funny about textures. That's why I can't eat fish. I can't bear flaky things. But fish eye, it sounds probably weird, but I bet a fish eye tastes of fish. Or it tastes of the sea. And also, yeah, just biting in, and I can't bear the thought of there being like a... What's that little contact lens that you're born with? A retina?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to rate that. And the cortex.
Cortex? No.
Cataracts? No. What is it?
I don't know. What is it called?
Cornea.
Cornea.
Cornea. No, I don't know. Is that it?
Yeah, but that's it.
Welcome to Biology FM. But yeah, my style, it's the texture chewing down on, and I've got a mouthful of fake teeth, you've got to remember.
That's
so
true.
I'll probably bring them home in my rucksack. I'll land at Heathrow, not a tooth in my head. But if I win 100 grand, I'll do it.
Well, and then you can get a whole new set of teeth. So
yeah, I'm just going to have another set done.
Yeah, fair. But I think, I don't know, I reckon they might be tempted. I did read an interesting thing where people were saying, is this a bit of a dry run for them not doing it live anymore? Because it's obviously very expensive to do as a live show. And you can cut down some of the costs. But
I bet a huge amount of costs.
Yeah.
But I did miss the public being able to vote.
True.
I mean, even as stupid as it sounds, I miss even seeing phone numbers on the back of their tops.
Right.
And that's a really weird thing to say, but you know, like, I think that was part of the charm of the show is, and I'm sure the jungle ain't going anywhere. And obviously, ITV did an amazing job of doing 2 years in the castle during the panny day. But I think people at home, especially that time of year, want to give celebs a hard time. Do you know what I mean? Have a nice, comfortable life. So, do you know what? If someone don't like them, or you're getting on their tits a little bit, Matt Hancock, they're going to pick up the phone.
Yeah, it's true.
And you're going to do a couple of trials. But you're getting your cheque and you're cashing it. Do you know what I mean? So it's part of the parcel. So I did kind of miss that element. What did you think about... Did you notice the difference not being Australia?
Not really.
Nah, not
they,
overly.
They made more like African references, right, than they would have what they replaced the Australian ones with. But does that really make any difference? I don't know.
I think probably good that it's not Australia. For people that have done the Australian jungle, it's good that they're going somewhere different, especially people that have won it, because to them, it's like going home.
Well, yeah, because people forget or don't know that it is actually a set. It's a set that's built in the jungle, but for... I'm a Celebrity, so they don't really change it that much other than the challenges and stuff. So the layout and stuff would all be exactly the same, right? So, yeah, I think it was good for them to be taken somewhere else, different vibes, different animal parts to eat, if that's your vibe.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I enjoyed it, actually. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I really like Helen Flanagan as well. I thought she had a
think she redeemed herself.
Personality transplant since the last time she was in.
Well, I remember being Australia the year she did it, I think 2012. I was doing the after show extra camp, and I remember sitting in my trailer and watching a like live stream of her. She was doing a water challenge, and I think she was in and out pretty quick. But I mean, to be fair, she was 23. I think she was a young girl.
Yeah.
And I don't judge anyone. A lot of people have fears and phobias. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So I think she's gone back and really redeemed herself. Mm. Do you know what I mean? She really gave it a go.
100%. Yeah, I thought
you're kind. She had to, though. She couldn't go back and not.
Yeah, it's funny though, because like becoming a parent, sometimes it goes either way, right? Like on the one hand, you're really scared because you, if anything dangerous happens, if you know something bad happens to you, your kids. And on the other hand, you went through childbirth or whatever, so you probably like there's nothing worse.
Probably worse than that. But it's weird, isn't it? I guess maybe it is becoming a parent, like you say. But for me, age. I'm just getting more scared as I get older about things, and I've got so many fears and phobias as is.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me because I feel like I hate that something controls my life. I'm like, I can't. Do you know what I mean? Even at theme park, I'll load the bags. When I was a kid, I didn't give a shit. I'd be on anything, like, do it. Whereas now I'm like, no.
You wouldn't do rides anymore?
No. I hate everything. I'm scared of everything. But I think that's kind of sad for such a young man.
Are you kidding? I know what you mean. Like my fear of heights has definitely intensified as I've gotten older. I'm not very good at... You couldn't send me up the Shard.
I'm sure you've been up the Shard a couple of times, Stephen. But on that lovely note, obviously we have to touch upon it. It's been on like the front page of every paper for a few days. ITV's This Morning.
Yeah.
The TV showbiz couple, not quite couple, but you know what I mean, Holly and Phil, allegedly feuding. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, it definitely seems like it's a real thing because Phil confirmed himself in a statement that things have been tough between them. I think, we're sort of, it's an interesting time for them. There's lots of rumours, aren't there, going around that he won't be back after the summer. And Holly will carry on, and their friendship's just kind of come to an end. They've been friends for 17 years, a long time.
I think it's really sad.
But it does happen.
Yeah.
Like, away from television or, you know, whatever, you can be friends with someone for 20 years and it just, something happens and it all sort of fizzles out, you know?
Because a friendship is no different to a relationship, really. Yeah, when something's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And loyal, do you know what I mean? There's so many layers to any relationship, whether it's romantic, friendship, as we say. And I kind of think when something's gone, when that just, that spark or whatever it is, it ain't there.
Mm.
So it's a tough one, because I obviously went out and I did the streets today, Bobby on the streets. And it's a tough one, because obviously I've done This Morning a lot over the years, and I've met Phil and Holly a lot. And both have always been so lovely to me. So I would never want to kind of feel like I'm taking sides, because really behind closed doors, no one knows what's going on.
Of course.
But here's a little taster of Bobby on the Street this week. And guys, you can find out and get the full video on our new Instagram handle, AAAFUBA on Instagram. And the video will be going live on Friday. But here's a little taster.
I think it's been like a bit of a long time coming. I don't know, because there's so much like bad things about Phil, isn't there?
Yeah.
You don't know whether to believe it or not. I feel like Holly's probably a bit like, ooh.
I'm Team Holly.
I'm Team Holly.
I think, their time was up, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe someone a little more younger and in touch.
I'm Team Holly, No, it's time for him to go, definitely.
Yeah, if one's going, they have to go together.
Yeah, but then what are we going to have, Ant and Zach? Yeah, to be fair.
So as you can see, the streets of London have spoken.
Not big fans of Phil, are they?
There was a few team feels, to be fair, but I mean, there was a lot of love for Holly.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a watch this space. We're not really seeing anything. They've not addressed it on the show, have they?
No, they won't.
I know Phil's released a statement, I think, in The Sun a couple of days ago, saying he loves Holly and she's like his best friend.
Which I think probably rubbed salt in the wound a bit, if you're...
Do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just sad, I think, when any relationship or friendship breaks down. But I'm sure this will go on, and we'll be talking about it again next week. That's for sure.
Who have we got coming up on the show today, Bob? We haven't said that yet. We've got 25 minutes
We're going straight into that, babe. So we have got Fats Timbo, legend.
TikTok legend.
Absolutely.
Funny woman.
TikTok legend. And we have got Connor Fisher, which a lot of you will know from Rise and Fall. So great little show. I'm excited to get all the tea.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a little trail and we'll be back in two.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
There was an interesting no-show, I thought, in Harry Styles. Apparently he didn't come because both Olivia Wilde, his ex-girlfriend, and Emily Emrata was there too, and he was pictured kissing her recently in Japan.
Lucky cow.
Apparently he avoided, because best not to be around two women you've recently been with, I guess, if you're Harry Styles.
See, if I'd have been there, I'd have said to both of them, piss off. Harry, let's go and have a gin and tonic.
So joining us now, we have Count Binface, an independent space warrior. I just wanted to quickly ask you one last question. Let's say you had won that election and you became prime minister. You know, what are some of the big things you'd like to change? What are some of the big things you believe in that our politics needs?
Well, why don't we talk about the old royal family? Because, you know, I don't wish to abolish them like some people do. No. I merely wish to solidify their ceremonial role so that they become the living, breathing version of Madame Tussauds that deep down the public wants. The
Dating Show. Again, I've been out on dates where people have gone, oh, like, what do you do? Why do they want pictures? And then I'll just go, oh, listen, I'll do little bits on TV, that's it. And then 2 hours later, when they've had a few drinks, they stop going, so tell me what happened with this girl. What happened with this? What happened with that? And I think, I thought you didn't know.
Well, this is why I think I struggle with my date life, because I just see myself as me. You know, I'm from Oxford, moved to London. That's it. I have a great group of friends. That's as simple as my life is. When I go to date someone, I don't see myself as, oh, I'm a girl that works on TV. I just see myself as me. But then I'm reminded by some of the things that they might do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, here live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris and joined by the lovely Stephen Leng. And now we are joined by the legend that is Fats Timbo via Zoom. How are you, Fats?
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm literally getting settled in as well.
We can tell, babes. You were like, you were rushing all around that screen.
My face, I was like, okay, let me put my wig on quickly.
Fats, show me them nails. Hold them up to the camera. Stunning.
Oh, they are stunning.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Acrylic gels. What are we doing?
Acrylic.
Love.
Black. Love it. And it's like turquoise colour with a bit of like a white stripe.
Absolutely stunning.
Sorry, Fats. Just could we get you to move the mic to your mouth just a little bit more, just so we can hear your beautiful voice?
There you go.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah. I can now, my love. Sorry, I was so hypnotised by your nails, but we can hear you perfect. How you been? Busy, busy.
I've been good. I've been super busy, booked and busy. Best way to be.
Always good. Yeah.
So exciting stuff has been happening. Life has been really hectic, but I'm loving it.
So talk to me. You've just released a book called Main Character Energy.
I love the title.
Yeah. We're all about main character energy. What made you choose that title? Because I think that's quite legendary.
For me, before I wrote that book, I'd always say, oh my God, main character energy, main character energy. And like, if you did something cool, or if you're watching a movie by yourself, main character energy. If you're going to eat by yourself, main character energy. And I thought it would be the best title for the book, because we're born alone and we die alone at the end of the day.
Yep.
And
true.
I think people find it really hard to be the main character in their own life. But at the end of the day, we are all main characters. So, it's just a little reminder.
Is main character energy kind of like big dick energy?
Yeah.
Same kind of vibes.
Yeah.
And we're like certainly that, here for that, Fats. How was the process for you writing? Because some people say it's like really therapeutic.
For me, it was like I had to unlock so many memories, good and bad. Obviously, unlocking the bad memories was a lot, but I got through it in the end. And I think it was a long process to get through, but I loved it at the same time. I talk about loving processes in my book as well. So I can't say like, oh, I hated the process, it was so long, and then write about how great processes are.
Yeah, right. So it's your life story then, is it? And like with like life lessons that you've learned along the way and stuff. That's the vibe.
Yeah. So it's my life story with self-help as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I got into the process of being more confident in myself and trying to get out of my comfort zone, I read self-help books, and they definitely helped with my knowledge of confidence and self-esteem. And I thought, if I'm going to write a book, I need to write about something that's going to help people in life. Mm-hmm. All the lessons and all the trials and tribulations, I didn't go through it for no reason, honey. Mm-hmm. I needed to go through it to help others.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, I think that's the best way that anyone can approach anything in life, right? Like, if you can help others through your own issues and struggles, then on to a winner.
And if it helps one person, it's so worth it. But exactly. So I wanted to ask you, like, obviously being an influencer, do you think it's harder for someone with a disability having a public platform? Do you find it's a trickier thing?
Personally, I think I've tried to not make it hard for myself, in the sense that I don't want... Okay, having a disability is hard in itself.
Of course.
But I think... being on social media, I really wanted to put my best foot forward, mm-hmm. in the sense that I didn't want to be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to say the world is so horrible, I hate the world, it's so hard. I'd rather give people inspiration, advocate, do all the things that I've always wanted to do on social media without no limits.
Mm.
So, it's easy to say yes. It's not as hard. I mean, it's very hard, and it's not as easy to get up into the ranks and stuff. Because first 3 years were so difficult to get anywhere on social media. I had about maybe 70,000 followers, and I still didn't get any like sponsorships or anything.
Really,
and it's not like I was looking for it. I wasn't. It was just that I was looking at other people that had lower followings than me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, why don't they want to work with me? Or, you know, am I not marketable? Do they not trust me with their products? Or, because at the beginning, it was all about building a platform,
mm-hmm.
and building a community. And now that I'd done that, it was like, oh, I kind of want more now. Yeah. It was harder to do it, but now that I've broken every boundary, it's all coming to me now. So it's like, oh, this is so great.
What's meant for you will never pass you by. And you know what? I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason, as cheese on toast as that sounds. But it moulds us and it makes us who we are. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. What you go through in life actually is why you're here. Do you know what I mean? Because actually you get strength from it.
I agree. I think if I wasn't a little person, or if I didn't have a disability, I wouldn't be half the person I am today. I literally wouldn't even be an inch, I think, because going through all those failures and people trying it with me all the time, and the adversity I go through, has made me such a strong person that you can't even try me now.
Yeah,
you can't try me.
Yeah, which you might not have had that strength, do you know what I mean, if the cards were different. So actually...
Yeah, exactly.
There's quite an interesting... Because the good thing about you, Faz, is that you're really funny. I mean, like that, like, right? But there is like a school of thought, and it's one of the reasons why, like, you get so many, like, gay comedians. It's like when you have some kind of, like... When you're younger and you've had to confront struggles, you kind of have to learn to be funny.
Absolutely.
Because it helps you sort of deflect from the pain that you can be feeling, right?
Yeah, and I think sometimes we take the piss out of... I mean, I know I have been, but I get something in before... I don't know if that's I'll take the piss out of... I'll get it out there before you can bat it at me.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's taking ownership.
Because the thing is, it's there. It's funny, like, sometimes it's a struggle for me to get in a car. If it's a Range Rover, I am going up like it's the Mount Everest or something, and I make a joke out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if I'm going down it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going down a hill.
Yeah.
But I make light out of it because, you know, I don't want people to feel like, oh, they can't ask me about my dwarfism, or they have to be really polite around me, like, joke with me as well.
Yeah,
sometimes
right.
It's funny.
Yeah,
it is
right.
What it is.
And, you know, I think also being an influencer, it's probably really inspiring because there'll be so many people that see you with a platform that she thinks, you know, if she can do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you must get so many messages from people going, thank you, because it's...
I think that's the
incredible thing about social media and people having platforms.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
the
so
positive
important.
Side.
Yeah.
It's so important. Like, when I first started, I didn't realise the impacts I could make. That was the most beautiful thing for me. It was just, I posted my first modelling picture just to post it, you know, it was an exciting thing to do. And then, you know, seeing so many girls say, oh my God, you're representing me. Oh my God, I go through this as well. I can relate to you. And it really, yeah, it was such a beautiful thing because it was like, wow, we're really not represented here. The first time I ever saw a black little woman, I was about 14, 15. So
really?
I felt so alone before that. But I'm glad I can do that from a young age for other little women.
And now the girl's smashing it on Vogue.
Yeah.
Let's have it right, babe. You ain't done bad, girl. You ain't done bad.
Call me Vogue.
Vogue.
Yes, I went on Vogue. I can't believe it. Like,
iconic.
What was that like?
Honestly, when they emailed me, I think I nearly clapped. Honestly. I was just like, me. I know I said I wanted to be on Vogue, but I didn't know it was going to happen. You know, it was so exciting. And I think it's really something that's going to inspire so many women out there, whether they're tall, dark skin, light skin, short, you know, any woman can be on Vogue. Cause I've done it. If I can do it, you can do it. You know, it was through hard work and determination and being able to network with people as well, because if I hadn't talked to the woman that got me on, she wouldn't have thought of me. And
you
know, she's such a lovely girl, you know. So amazing. All credit goes to Sinead Burke, because she is the one that emailed me and she's the one who directed it all. And amazing.
But I mean, life's been quite a journey for you, hasn't it? Since
a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
What's next for you then? You know, you've got your book out. I guess like maybe you can have a little bit of downtime now, or is that not very you? Are you sort of straight back on? I know you're making funny TikToks all the time. Oh, really?
I feel guilty having downtime. I'm a bit of a weirdo. Like, I like to just think of stuff, do stuff, and think of ideas. What's the next big thing? I'm always like, I want more. Like,
I will say, I really enjoyed your TikTok where you are pretending to interview Doja Cat at the Met Gala. Like, because it's one of my biggest fears in life is when you're confronted with something like that. So if you haven't seen it, Fats does this good thing where she's like the interviewer and Doja Cat's dressed as a cat and she was being interviewed by like German Vogue and she just meows at every answer. But you really captured that fear that a journalist has or like an interviewer has when it's like, I have no idea how to respond
to
this. How to approach it. Yeah. You know, like the actual interviewer, props to her.
Yeah, did a really good job. Yeah.
She was going along with it. It was hilarious. And I do want to just keep doing stuff like that. Like, putting my own spin on like pop culture news and making people laugh, and you know, because that's my roots.
Yeah.
That's how I got big from social media. So I want to keep doing that. And there's a few things, but I signed an NDA.
She's Billy Big Balls now, isn't she?
When there's NDAs, when there's an NDA. Say,
hopefully, if it happens, you'll see it really soon.
Okay.
I'm excited for it. But I wanted to ask you, babes, how do you find dating? And do you think your disability has made it harder to kind of date? And it set that whole thing up for me. What's the situation? I know you don't obviously know any different, but is it more of a struggle than what you imagine it wouldn't be?
So before my partner, dating was horrible. It was hell. It's hell right now for the average person.
Yeah.
But for me, I was fetishized a lot because it was mainly like guys saying, oh, you know, I've never slept with a little person. I'm almost like a bucket list kind of thing.
Dear.
They never saw me seriously, saw me as a real human.
Bastards.
yeah, exactly that. Like, it was very uncomfortable for me to find somebody that actually likes me for me. Thank God I found my partner now. We've been together 3 years this year. And honestly, he's got me out of the trenches.
And would guys be really honest about that? Like, excuse my language, but would you like almost where people go like, this is like a curiosity fuck for me?
Yeah.
That's and what do you say? Because I can't believe someone's got the arsehole to sit over a steak and chips and say that to someone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So someone said to me on, was it a date or, I think it was in person. Yeah, I've never effed a dwarf.
Oh my Jesus God. Did you, I hope you got up and left. Yeah, fucking run.
I ran away. Like, that was horrible.
That's so disrespectful, isn't it?
Yeah, because a lot of guys are disrespectful to women, but imagine if you have all these layers to you.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like a circus freak in a way. Like, it makes you feel like you can't date properly because, you know, no one's taking you seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think dating with a disability is extremely hard, especially if you want to be taken seriously. But
luckily, babe, you don't have to worry anymore.
Yeah, you've kissed them frogs and you've got a prince. So there's hope for me and Stephen, because we've got a few frogs between us.
Yeah, we certainly do.
So what's next for you, babe? You're loving the socials, keeping busy, the NDA. So I'm guessing everyone keep an eye on the socials. Is that where we're going to find out?
You'll find out on socials for sure, because obviously I post everything on socials. But you'll see possibly, because it's a big mate on TV.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Times. Okay, all right.
So
okay.
We'll see.
All right, babe.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you, darling.
Brilliant chat. Thank you
so much for having me. And Bobby, I'm such a big fan of you. I love you. I'm a big fan of both of you guys.
Bless you. Ditto.
I've been
you too, Fats.
For years on Towie, and what a pleasure. pleasure.
Aww. Oh, love you, Fats. Thank you for being so lovely and so amazing. Look after yourself. Show me them nails one more time before you go.
Yes.
Stunning. Cheers, Fats.
Thank you
you
so much. Later, guys.
Later, babe. She's so amazing, isn't she?
I love her.
So gold. Well, we'll have a little break and then we're going to come back and we've got the lovely Connor Fisher joining us on Zoom again.
Stunning. So,
stunning, babes.
FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah,
and then I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi, he goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, yeah, and then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit.
Access all areas.
We have got Lily in the house.
So excited to be here. The problem is, when you start getting a few followers on Instagram, people will look at you. Mm. People want to get to know you. They will, and girls and guys, will not give a fuck. And if you are out on a night out and you're a guy and some, you know, hot girl comes up to you, like, it happens. And guys are going to be like, oh my God, and so they suddenly get all this attention. And my boyfriend has joined me on Made in Chelsea. And I remember when the producers called me to be like, look, we want Billy on the show. I was like, is this a good idea? Like, not that he'd cheat,
it's
but like,
a risky move though.
It is. It's like, because this could, like, this person I love and I like want to be with him forever. But if this could fuck up everything.
Politics Uncensored. I am delighted to be joined by Patsy Stevenson this week. You went to the vigil and you had, you were arrested, and the picture of your arrest was in every newspaper and I think on the feed of every person in this country's social media. Do you mind talking to us a little bit about why you went and what you think that has sparked now, the conversation around policing and how important that is?
The reason that my picture went viral is much to do with the fact that I'm white and because of the way I look. And a lot of other people who are arrested unlawfully, they don't get platforms, they don't get book deals, you know what I mean?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
June. Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys, live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris and I'm joined by the lovely Stephen Ling. And now we are joined by Connor Fisher via Zoom. How are you, Connor?
I'm very well. How are you, Bobby?
Really good, thank you. Really good. How have you been?
I've been amazing. Life's been a whirlwind since the old rise and fall. It's been insane, to be honest.
Yeah, what's it been like since doing the show and sort of being involved in?
So 3 months ago, I was running care homes and dealing with all sorts of challenging things to a week ago being at a premiere. I mean, I've never been to a premiere in my life. You know, I watch everything on Netflix. So to be at such a big event, it was like, really, what do you wear? And I've never had to worry about that because, you know, my normal life is working 9 to 5. So it's been absolutely insane, but I'm loving every second of it.
What was the premiere?
I Kissed a Boy on BBC Three.
Oh, with Danny Minogue.
Oh, beautiful Danny Minogue.
Yeah.
She's a soap.
She is a stunner. Was that up in Liverpool?
It was up in Liverpool, yes. Yeah. So I've never been to Liverpool before. So, like, experiencing new, like, cities that I've never been to is just amazing as well.
So it's really opened up some opportunities.
Absolutely. I think to be part of the premiere of I Kissed a Boy is quite special because, obviously, growing up, and being in the closet myself, there was never anything like that. We had Love Island, you know, we had Celebrity Love Island, you had all your normal dating shows, but there was straight dating shows. So to have something like I Kissed a Boy is quite special, you know. It feels like we are moving on now.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Babe, how have you found social media? Because when you've done reality TV, we all know the beast of social media. It's got some amazing perks to it, but as we know, there's a little bit of an underbelly to social media. Have you found much trolling or anything like that?
Not as much now. I think the people that still follow me are obviously people that enjoyed me on the show. I know I came across quite controversial and not meaning to be. Like, there was just too many moments that I was involved in. So there were a few, like, Connor's a snake. I got a few fat comments, which is fine, you know, when you go on, when you put yourself forward.
Well, it's not really. It's not really fine.
Pardon?
It's not really fine, is it? I mean, the fact that people feel the need to say stuff like that, I just think it's more.
I think it was just like, it was one direct one when I left and then came back. It was like when you thought you got rid of the fatty and the ginger fatty returns. But most of them have been quite funny. Like, Connor would survive a nuclear war. He went up, he went down, he went up, he went down, and never got eliminated. So some of them were quite tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
There were some nasty ones, but I just throw them away. I had someone managing my social media, so they kind of dealt with a lot of that, so I didn't have to see it as much.
Yeah.
And you almost have to just look at it and think, I'm just not going to give it the steam off my piss, because whatever you do, Con, honestly, I've had stuff in my face, I got trolled, I've took it out, I've changed teeth. There ain't much I ain't done. Whatever you do, you're always going to get torn a new arsehole for something. You can't please all the people all the time.
Yeah.
Whatever 100%. Teeth you've got, whatever's in your face, do you know what I mean? Whatever you're wearing, whatever size you are. So actually, you've just got a
haircut.
Hair, yeah. Honestly, that down to the strangest things. So I think just people have that thing on social media that when they've seen you on a TV show, they think it's like a God-given right that they can just annihilate you. But if you're thick-skinned enough to just think, you know what, fuck it. Do you know what I mean? Like, because really, as long as you can put your head on your pillowcase at night and still get 40 winks, you're laughing.
100%. And we had each other, although there was a lot of tension in Rise and Fall, we do still talk. And while it was going, we would send messages to each other. Like, if we've stabbed each other in the back, it was all, we were all fine, you know, with what happened with me and James. You know, in a sense, without saying too much, me and James spoke prior to that elimination. Like, James knew I was voting for him. You know, we all had conversations, but, you know, it's 24 hours whittled down to an hour. So people don't see everything that's gone on.
Editing.
With me walking out, someone else was going to walk out first.
Yeah.
But then they were holding the pin and I was like, no, I'm going. And I walked out and it was a whirlwind. The whole experience was chaotic.
How much did you know about the show before you did it? I mean, like, do they give you a full debrief or, like, I don't know.
That was how long the paragraph was.
Right.
It said, do not think The Apprentice, think I'm a celebrity. You will rise, you will fall. We didn't know what the basement was going to be like. We didn't know what the work shifts were going to be like. So I'm thinking, I'm a celebrity. Holy crap. I'm going to be walking across bridges, thrown out of planes. Right. I can barely even walk up. You know, I can't even sit on the London Eye without nearly fainting. So being in that sort of environment would have killed me. But there were still some, like, eating. So we didn't know any of that until someone was having an allergy test. And I was like, great, that's that then. One of us are shoveling something down our, you know, we're going to eat the eating stuff. So,
but yet you still did it. You still went in and you were up for it then, though. Like, despite not knowing much, you thought.
I think I was one of the better ones at the eating ones. That's probably why I'm the size I am. You know, jokes aside. The others were spewing and I was just trying to just keep up because I had Jack next to me that couldn't even sniff the dog's food. So we were all trying to, I had Sophie the other side that, you know, wasn't pulling her away at all. So I was like in the middle of two of them that were struggling. So I was like having to ram, and then at the end James was. So it was, you know, you just had to do it because you didn't want to be the reason that you've lost the prize fund.
Yeah.
It was very intense.
So you've just mentioned Sophie. She obviously got a lot of hate on social media. Does that surprise you?
I'm joking. Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay.
It surprised me. And I didn't know who Sophie was, but some of the other cast members did. And they were like, did you know she was? And I thought, you know, I need her to be my friend regardless. It didn't work out that way. And a lot of it was on, like, not on camera. So people could see this tension between me and Sophie, but they weren't airing it. So there were times where, like, I would call her out, she would call me out, and we weren't talking. And we clashed in there. And then after she became, like, after the show aired, and, you know, we became okay. But obviously, we all do interviews and stuff. And some of the things that have been said in interviews, I don't agree with. I'm not coming on here to bash her at all. But, you know, some of the things, when you look back, it's like, really? You know, obviously, certain people, we're in a group chat, certain people are not in it anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Who's left the group, Com?
Ramona left and then, well, Ramona was kicked out, then came back.
Nice. So I'm back.
Toby's not in it anymore. Pardon?
She's like, I'm back.
Yeah, she took my line. Oh, no, she actually came back before I left and came back. But then we had Sophie just up sticks and left, and not many people have kept in contact with Sophie. I mean, we like each other's on Instagram occasionally, a post, or I mean, I try not to like hers in case I end up, because we had one photo together and everyone's like, you know, she's anti-gay. And I'm like, oh no, you know, I don't know. But I don't believe she is anti-gay, and I will like defend her on that. I don't know if this is the persona she portrays, because I see the vulnerable side of Sophie. You know, I've seen her when she's struggling in sweet broth, and you know, she is trying to push herself. And I think she wanted to prove herself. But at times it was like, girl, you're trying to prove yourself. But you're like flying off the handle for no reason. But I don't believe that she believes the stuff she's saying. I think she is genuinely underneath that, you know, persona she portrays on GB News. That isn't her. We saw a softer side at times.
That's such an interesting... And I think there's actually quite a lot of people out there now, actually someone that used to work on this show as well, who have sort of become these sort of... right-wing nut jobs, for a better word, for
who are you thinking of, Steve?
For traction, right? Like for attention. And actually, I know that they don't believe the stuff that they're saying. They're saying it because it gets them attention.
Is it a kind of like the Katie Hopkins effect?
It is. It's 100% the Katie Hopkins effect. And I think it's like a sad indication of where the world has gone, that people are prepared to give up any sort of moral for attention, quite honestly. And I think you're seeing it in someone like her. And you've seen it personally, right?
Yeah, I think there was a couple of people on there. Like, you know, there was another particular person that would, you know, he attacked me. I don't know if you've seen Rise and Fall, but he attacked me like... It was like the X Factor judges' houses. Like, I don't believe you deserve a second chance. And I was like, but I know you do. I felt like I was having a Louis Walsh moment with him.
Yeah, and you're like, what's coming next?
And then after, he was like, makes good telly. I'm like, what, ridiculing me?
Yeah,
what?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm all for it. If you're giving me airtime, do what you want.
And it's funny, yeah, especially reality TV, as time goes on, people are so calculating now that people are thinking... Yeah. Airtime, like it's mad, really, and how it's become such a thing that people go in just clued up now, which I kind of think reality TV has lost a bit of organicness in the sense people that are that clued up that will say things they truly don't believe and become a caricature of themselves. I'm like, kind of is ironic that you're on a reality TV show and there ain't no reality there when you're playing a character. You might as well. Go on, Hollyoaks.
Experienced in TV.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some of them had the experience.
So they was a bit clued up.
I did a dating show 10 years ago, like, and I was on it for 5-10 minutes. So I've not got the whole, like, Jeff's been on TV, Prince has been on TV, Sophie's on TV all the time, you know, got influencers in there. I mean, I work 9-to-5 and I come home to me dog and have no, you know, live a normal 9-to-5 jobs, whereas some of these, this is their life. They do TV shows, like podcasts, and that's their day-to-day life. Whereas me, it was like throwing myself into something completely different.
Have you gone back to your 9-to-5?
Yeah, it's hard because obviously I've got things lined up. Obviously I'm with a management company now. So it's like trying to run a care home because obviously I've got to still prioritise the people I'm supporting on a day-to-day basis. But trying to manage it the evening, you know, doing stuff like this and I've got Bridlington Pride where I'm doing like a set there, and it's just like trying to manage that time because I work Monday to Friday, and then thinking, oh, on a Saturday morning I'm traveling up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do that, and then I'll be home on the Sunday and back to work on the Monday.
Yeah So you're knackered, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, living on caffeine, love it.
Make it an espresso martini. That's the way to
go. So care homes can't have been an easy time. The last few years, the madness we've all been through, I bet that's been tough.
Oh, it's been absolutely, you know, I've worked in care for on and off for 11 years, had a few breaks for other jobs and stuff. But, you know, I worked in the peak of... you know, COVID, and that was extremely difficult because I was an agency worker as well. So I was traveling a lot to care homes to help when they were short. And, you know, there were particular times that I actually questioned whether I wanted to do the job anymore. Like, I was crying and I thought, you know, we're not paid great. You know, we're not paid a great deal and we're dealing with deaths. We're dealing with not knowing what COVID's doing, scared people, people that are not seeing their loved ones, angry
no PPE.
Understanding,
yeah,
lack
yeah.
of PPE. It was insane.
So I bet Rise and Fall was like foreplay for you.
Yeah, I walked in and I was like that. But that's what I wasn't used to leading in that sort of situation. Yeah, you right. know, Rise and Fall was so difficult because when I went up to the penthouse, I just crumbled. I didn't know where, who was my friend, who was my ally. Like, you lost yourself. Well, a lot of us lost ourselves.
Watching it back, because obviously when you're living and breathing something, and obviously, like say, you're filming all them hours, you've got no idea what's going to make it to the final edit and the final show. When you've watched it back, do you think it's a true reflection, or are you kind of surprised with how some people were?
Obviously, the way some people were, I think they definitely toned us all down. Like, there was a lot more heated arguments that, you know, obviously...
Oh, that's interesting.
But there was more heated arguments than what was aired. But, you know, they're not going to air... It's not Big Brother, is it? So they're not going to just air all the drama. So, obviously, the only thing that shocked me was obviously how much Moses was doing. You know, he had everyone on his side and
doing the most.
You just didn't know where you were looking half the time because you had to, it was survival of the fittest.
I couldn't do it.
Pardon?
I just couldn't do it. Like, I think I'm like, not knowing who you could trust and who you could, I couldn't. I just said, I think I would honestly have a nervous breakdown in that sort of environment.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, yeah. Are you what are you planning next? What are you going to stay in care for now? Are you looking to do more sort of you know, like you said, pride appearances?
Obviously, I
want
to do more TV work. I feel like, you know, there's more to me than just Rise. I would like to hope there's more to me than just Rise and Fall. You know, I've been a big, huge fan of reality TV, huge fan of, you know, Bobby, and, you know,
thanks,
so
babes.
Just to like bring my character to other projects. Obviously, I've got pride events, which are quite important, obviously being a gay man. And a few years ago, before I came out, I'd be too scared to do something like that. So now being able to have fun and meet new people, you know, I'm doing work with, you know, Amanda from The Traitors, who I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah.
It's just like living a dream, you know.
Well, I hope you enjoy it because it's a great opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it, Connor, and best of luck.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you both.
You too.
You
take
too.
Care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Nice.
Really nice. I always just love speaking to people when they have just left a reality TV
Yeah, especially
show.
When it's their first one.
Yeah, because it's so refreshing to hear someone's like through fresh eyes.
Yeah,
I think
in
a way you become so immune to it over years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice to hear what someone does a show, steps out of it and then finds the madness of edits and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And people they could... And the WhatsApp group chat, I always love to know who's left, who's in, who's out.
Yeah.
In and out, in and out.
Because you've been there yourself, babe, haven't you?
Yeah, once or twice, babe, once or twice. What a nice show, Stephen.
Lovely show, as ever.
Always, babe. So I'm glad you're back from Liverpool and you've had a lovely time because, as I say, I know you've been so excited for it.
Do you know what's even better, though? And actually, I kind of forget it. My arms are better now. They got much better.
Oh.
I'm not quite able to go back to the gym. I tried to do a push-up at home the other day and it was a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, go easy.
So I was like, I'm going to get some of those like granny weights, you know, like just so I can do
just
some
like a couple of 1 or 2 kilos.
Because honestly, I think I've got like muscle wastage on my arms. I can feel my arm bone.
Oh, bless you. Like, the thing is that when you can't use your elbows, you wouldn't believe how quick,
how quickly you suddenly like become this weak, pathetic thing. But yeah, so I'm feeling all right. So post-Liverpool, post-coronation, back to the real world.
Absolutely,
and, and
living your best life. He's got his arms back.
Which... Whatever next. isn't life exciting?
Isn't it exciting? Who knows what's in store for next week? But I know I, for one, can't wait. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Always an absolute pleasure. And we'll be back next week, won't we, Stephen boy?
We certainly will. And actually, I'm going away the weekend after as well. So I'll
have
more
stories
from that.
Where are you going now?
I'm going away with the rowers.
It's like Judith Chalmers, the gay rowers, where are they taking you?
Yeah, exactly. somewhere in deepest, darkest Cambridgeshire. So
that's why he's smiling and he's made sure his arms are better. Say no more. They're taking him
both
to the deepest, darkest cave, did you say? What cave?
Cambridgeshire.
Oh, I thought you said the deepest, darkest cave. I thought, gosh, it's a family show, Stephen.
Jesus
well,
Christ.
Well, I look forward to hearing about you and the guys in Cambridgeshire.
Well, yeah, so I'll be looking forward to that next week myself. So anyway, yes, thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you, guys. We'll be back next week. Take care.
Bye.